On my stomach under 5 miles of mud and stone. I'm an out-in-the-open sort of person.
Me too, lover.
Ryan steadied himself against the wall of the tunnel, cupping his hand so that Christy could step up, balance, and stand on his shoulders. It would give her the height to look through the open mouth of the tunnel above and blast anything that moved, if it didn't blast her first. Her boots were slippery, and she nearly fell. She grabbed his head to steady herself, her fingers tangling in his hair.
Watch it!
Keep still! You're rocking around like an aspen in a hurricane.
Then she was up on his shoulders. Ryan braced himself, wincing in expectation of hearing the roar of a gun from some hidden enemy. But all was quiet. She half-turned, the heels of her cowboy boots scraping his ears, which made him wriggle again. Then she pushed upward, and her weight was off him. He looked up and saw her legs vanishing into the hole above, momentarily blocking the light.
Anything?
Her face reappeared, the long red rags of her hair dangling down, almost touching him.
Nothing. Come on up, lover.
She reached down, giving him a wrist grip. In one steady motion, he hauled himself up to the higher level. Slumped against the far wall of the tunnel, which was wider than the one below, was the corpse of the third mutie, its head more or less pulped off its shoulders by the burst of lead from the G-12.
Time we got out of this bastard, Warren.
Ryan stooped, peering as far as he could into the dimness. The light at their elbow was a small clay lamp, with a wick floating in liquid fat.
I can hear something. Where we came. Could be JB and the others.
Let's go, then.
Ryan led the way, finger ready on the trigger of the H&K. It took them an hour to reach full light and fresh air. Ryan stood in the entrance to the tunnel, drawing in deep breaths.
That is so good, lover. I wasn't meant to be a fucking mole. If we ever find another adept like that, I'm gonna get right back in the gateway and move along to the next stop.
Me too.
The sky was an unusual color. Clear, pale blue, with only a few wispy white clouds streaking across it. From the cold, thin air, Ryan figured they had to be up a considerable altitude. From experience, it felt like around a mile high. At first, he saw no sign of another living being. There was the edge of what looked like a big lake, not too far away, and a lot of mountains all around, many snow-capped. The wind was from the north, clean and light. Christy put her arm around Ryan's shoulders.
It's beautiful.
What Uncle Tyus McCann would have called God's country, I guess.
Ryan moved to the sharp-cut brink of a drop and looked down. He turned to Christy, a smile on his face.
They're here.
Where?
Down.
He pointed with the muzzle of the mud-streaked blaster.
All of them.
Several hundred feet lower on the sharp, scree-covered slope of the mountain, 5 minute figures were visible. One with white hair, stark against the gray rock, one with yellow hair, and one with a clumsy black hat. One round figure, and one with glasses that glittered as he looked up toward Ryan and Christy. Ryan held his G-12 above his head, waving it slowly to and fro, signaling they were all right.
They're safe. We all made it. He killed how many?
Finnegan grinned.
6.
Ryan looked at Jack Lauren, who was shuffling his feet like a kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
How did you take 6 muties all on your own, son?
Which spear?
Jack flicked the sections in his fingers so that they blurred into the full-length weapon. Ryan saw that the cane shaft was streaked with dried blood.
All 6? What the hell are you doing, Finn?
Stopping me from sinking in the water and being drowned. Thank you, Ryan.
There was a little congealed blood around the corner of Lori's mouth, and a deep purple bruise on the left side of her jaw, making speech difficult.
No other way.
Ryan looked across at Doc to see if the old man understood.
O tempora, o mores.
What?
It means when you are up to your neck in shit, you cannot get along by smelling roses.
I suppose I know why you hit me, Ryan. Sorry I made trouble, but I still didn't like it very much.
Finnegan was eager to tell Ryan and Christy about Jack's prowess in the underground battle.
I never seen nothing like the bleached out little fucker. Like fucking poetry in motion, Ryan. One after another, like skewering fish in a piss pot.
Shoo. Easy. They came one at a time, so killed them one at a time.
You gut rip them?
Nah. Bobs on spears catch clothes, snag on furs. No time rip clear. Had to stab at necks and faces.
I swear he hit three of the fucking six right splat in the middle of the fucking eye. They was down and thrashing in a row.
Got no more brains than gator shit. Came together and I'd have been chilled.
I couldn't get my blaster to waste any of them for him. And Doc and JB was busting out of the water all pop-eyed, real stiff in that river, trying to tug you down and under.
Sure, we know it, Finn.
It got fucking weird, you know. The light was real dark. Most times I could see his hair like a whirlwind of fucking snow. Hear them screaming, the blade ripping them open, and the blood spurting every which way around the tunnel. I tell you, oh, jeez.
There was a silence. Doc Tanner was hugging the trembling Lori, both of them still dripping muddy water from their new fur coats. JB squinted up at the sky.
Could be a storm. Road down yonder. Maybe best we head for it. Anyone got any pyro tabs?
There was a general shaking of heads and shrugging of shoulders. Jack looked at JB.
What are they?
Pyro tabs? Self-igniting pellets. Start a fire quick and easy.
Gonna get cold in a while. Need a fire.
I got matches. Always carry them.
Jack fumbled in the pockets of his jacket, pulling out various small, intriguing packages, most of them wrapped in clear plastic to keep them from getting wet.
What's that?
Christy reached out as fast as a striking rattler to snatch a packet of fine white powder off the boy's palm.
Give it back!
Careful, son.
Gimme, Christy!
The woman eased open the self-seal top and dipped the tip of her index finger into the powder. She raised the finger to her lips, then pulled a face.
Jolt.
Can I try? I like Jolt. Quint had some, and crack. Jolt was best.
No, Jolt's the worst. Mix of heroin and coke. Lift you up and knock you down all in one hard hit.
Quint, my husband, said Jolt was good. Gave me a lot all the time.
Yeah, and we all know what a fucking family man he was.
Give it back. I can handle it. Only do some now and then.
Ryan held his hand out, and Christy put the packet in his fingers. They were all sitting on a wide ledge, overlooking the valley below. The sky was changing from pallid blue to vivid gold, with crimson chemstorms threatening from the west.
You journey with us, fight with us, then you live by our rules. You don't like it, then get out, Jack. One rule is no drugs.
I can...
Handle it? I know. I've seen a lot of men and women say that. And I've seen a lot of fucking stoned corpses. You mess around with your head, and your reflexes go, kid. Your reflexes go, and I don't want you at my back when the muties come at us. I want someone clean.
So, you gonna throw over cliff?
Wrong, Jack. You throw it over. And any more jolt you got on you?
Don't have more.
Then throw this away.
The boy reached for the package, letting it lie for a moment on the white palm of his hand as he shook his head back to clear his hair from his eyes.
Shit. Waste, Ryan. Pay good creds for this.
Wasted Jack, then, wasn't it?
Shit.
They all watched as the slim-built boy rose to his feet and stood a moment on the edge of the drop. He peeled back the top of the plastic and then shook it so that the white, hallucinogenic powder exploded like a tiny cloud in front of him, the rising wind dispersing it almost instantly.
Satisfied, Ryan?
Yeah.
There was a light fluttering of rain. Toward the northern peaks, they saw a jagged stripe of silver lightning, then another. The rumble of thunder taking several seconds to reach them.
I figure that'll pass by. But night's not far off.
You done a sighting on where we are?
The armorer carried a neat collapsible sextant with him, which could be used to determine their position. He also had an almost photographic memory for any map or plan. Once he'd seen it, then it was locked away deep inside his formidable memory.
Yeah, just before you came down to join us. Where we figured.
Oregon?
Near as I can tell, we're to the south of it. Those big snow tops were called the Cascades. See that spread of trees?
JB pointed to where sharp-topped pines speckled the hillsides.
Called Rogue River Forest. Up to the north, there used to be a famous place. Big, deep lake in the middle of an old volcano. Called Crater Lake. Probably nuked out of sight now.
Radio message came from the north. Maybe we could head that way?
Good as any other. First thing to find is somewhere to shelter for the night.
Christy joined Jack on the edge of the drop, where he was peering down into the valley below. She shaded her eyes with her hand, holding back her coiling crimson hair.
Looks like an old blacktop down there. Winds around the end of that small lake. Some kind of building. Can't make out more.
Christy squinted, then shook her head.
Can we get down?
Sure. There's a goat path, a bear track round to the right. Comes out above the scree, near that stand of pignon.
The path was uneven, and several times one or another of the group stumbled and tripped. Doc Tanner found it the hardest going, relying on the steady arm of Laurie to help him. On a level part, he slowed to walk alongside Ryan.
The time was, folks paid good jack to do this sort of thing. Hiking, they called it. Taking the air. Personally, I would happily dig deep into my own humble purse to pay not to have to hike these mountains.
As they progressed, the chem clouds gathered in a furious array over the mountains, sending great stabbing sheets of lightning to burst against the dripping rocks. The armorer had been correct in his forecasting. The storm was raging some 40 or 50 miles away to the north, showing no signs of moving closer. Night was crouching to the east, ready to spring and spread its body across the land. The path zigzagged across the slope, bending and twisting sharply. The stones underfoot were dangerously slippery. A red fox picked its way daintily across the trail in front of them, showing no fear. Generally, this was a sign that there weren't that many human beings around. Far above, a solitary raven soared, riding a thermal over the valley, its beak catching the glint of the dying sun. As they drew nearer to the road that curled lazily below them, the harsh rocks gave way to patches of scrub and meadow. The sides of the path became lined with a profusion of wild plants, the gold and cream of the butter and eggs flowers, with the crimson spikes of the Indian paintbrush. They passed tall stems of firewood, with magenta flowers nodding and dancing on either side, some at least 15 feet tall. Across the valley was a great swath of purple Oregon fleabane. The distant chattering of a stream that flowed white over boulders along the edge of the narrow highway became audible. Jack, who was leading the way as they neared the road, suddenly jumped to one side, gasping in shock as a sinuous garter snake weaved across the trail right under his feet.
Oh, it wouldn't have harmed you. Probably.
Wouldn't go and find out.
It's an old gas station.
The rectangular building they'd seen from high above stood squatly on its own. Most of the windows were broken, and one corner of its flat roof had fallen in. The pump stood undamaged, like robot sentinels on guard against intruders.
No nuke damage, Doc?
This far north and west, it wasn't bombed so badly as other parts. Not many air bases or radar stations. Nothing like that up here in the mountains. Most of the missiles they used would have been low yield. No point in dropping dirty heads here. Not enough people. Probably hit water and highways. Some of the communications and the folks would have mostly moved out or died.
JB pulled out his miniaturized rad counter, checking in all directions.
Hot spot over to the east, and some action north. Nothing too dangerous. Doesn't rate even an orange.
That roof's safe. It could be a good place to spend the night. Only one door at the front.
Laurie turned to Christy.
This is like where I came for. Came from. Caves and houses from old times that were used by bears to sleep and live.
Best be careful, then.
We're always careful, aren't we, Finn?
The bears fucking the shit in the woods?
But there were no bears in the abandoned gas station. It was a single-story building, two-thirds of it given over to a workshop, the rest an office. The sliding door to the work area was closed, but a smaller half-glass door was open. Ryan approached it, while Finn and JB went around the outside. Only when they'd circled the building, reporting that it looked deserted and safe, did he risk entry. The hinges creaked and broken glass crunched underfoot. Animals or humans had apparently stripped the place bare. A pile of wind-blown dried leaves from the aspens across the blacktop rested in one corner. There was an open cash register on a counter and an empty Coke tin against the far wall. Finn pointed to the far door that probably opened into the workshop.
Through here?
Sure. Slow and easy. Christy, you and Jack stay here and keep watch outside. Not a good place to get caught in.
In a narrow corridor, there were two restrooms marked Guys and Dolls in faded blue paint. Finn pushed each door open.
Shouldn't you have knocked?